Dear brothers and sisters, there is no doubt in my mind that every one of us feels that he is or she is part of the body of this Muslim Ummah, and that we share both the happiness and the pain and the suffering of this Ummah. This is because this is something that is required from us. This is part of the wala that is due to the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The believing men and the believing women are protector friends of one another. And because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهْرِ وَالْحُمَّى. That the example of the believers in the matter of their compassion, sympathy toward one another, and mercy towards one another is like one body. If one part of it is afflicted, the whole body suffers. And because of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan, a believer to another is like a well-structured building. يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا, holding and supporting each other. So, this feeling that we have toward the condition of the Ummah is something that is good, something that is praiseworthy, something for which we will be rewarded if we are sincere, doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see the lawlessness in some parts of the Muslim world and we suffer because of it, this is something for which we will be recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the division of the Ummah hurts us, we will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we are feeling with the Muslim Ummah. And when we realize how weak we have become as a nation, and it causes discomfort to us, this is a good feeling. The question, is this enough? Is it enough for us to have this feeling of sympathy toward the Ummah and the Muslims wherever they are? And what are we required to do with respect to the places in the Muslim Ummah which undergoes hardships and disasters and calamities? And the answer is that toward every dilemma that faces us as a nation, we have dual obligation. Number one, it is an obligation that we support and help that cause using every legal and legitimate means, because this is something that is also included in the meaning of wala that is due to the believers. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The believing men and the believing women are protector friends of one another, which means they love and honor one another. They support and aid one another. They defend one another. And they care for one another. And number two, and that is more important, it is imperative that every one of us make an in-depth analysis about the condition of this ummah in order to understand what is the root cause of the decline of this ummah. This ummah was honored. This ummah was exalted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are indeed the best nation that was sent forth for the goodness of mankind. So how come did we decline? We have to understand the reasons. We have to understand the cause for that decline. We have to understand the real disease of this ummah in order for us, and this is the third obligation, to be contributor to the restoration of the honor and the dignity of this ummah. We have to have that analysis in order for us to contribute for building the ummah, rebuilding the ummah, ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every one of us, while dealing with a partial problem, is a part of the overall solution for the problem of the ummah. We need to be part of a holistic approach in solving the dilemma and the crisis of ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to have the ability to discriminate between what is really the disease and what are the symptoms. Because sometimes we mix up between the diseases and what is a disease and between the symptoms of that disease. The proper treatment requires that we understand real well what is our real disease. What we see is the division. Is it the disease or not? Is the state of lawlessness, is it the disease or not? Is the weakness, is it the disease or not? Now, if it is not the disease, then what is the real disease of the from which the Muslim Ummah is suffering? And after that, if we are currently engaged in treating something other than the main disease, if we are busy in something that is not the root cause of the decline of this ummah, you know what will be our example? Our example will be like somebody who is polishing the wood of a ship that is drowning. There is a big hole in that ship. And instead of us, all of us together, help one another in order to close that hole and patch it, we are busy in polishing the wood of that drowning ship. This is how dangerous it is for the Islamic workers to be busy in something that is other than treating the root cause of the ailment and that causes the decline of Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After, you see, finding the real disease and realizing what is our problem as the ummah, we need to ask ourselves whose responsibility is to reform this ummah. Whose responsibility? If I am running away from my responsibility. If so and said, Alhamdulillah, we have Iman, we have a masjid, we have a community, let them do the work. If every one of us rely on the other to solve the problem, then no work will be done. And the suffering of the Ummah continues. And we will become contributor to the suffering of the Ummah instead of being part of the solution for the problem of the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear brothers and sisters, let me just go to the bottom line. The problem, and I know it, I feel it, and I think you know it, and you feel it. The problem, our problems, lies here, in our heart, in our iman. And think about any other problem, and you'll find it is nothing but a symptom for that disease that is in here. We have a major problem in our iman. We have weak iman as an ummah. Some of us may have strong iman, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered the condition of the whole ummah. And any other thing that you may think that it is a disease, it is nothing but a symptom for that disease. It's like when you feel the high temperature. It is not the high temperature of an ill person is a symptom. It's not the disease. And therefore, it's very, very important for us to understand the huge price that we pay for being heedless regarding our iman. There is a huge price that all of us pay when we are negligent regarding our iman. And the first evidence for this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. To Allah, honor and dignity belongs to Allah, His Messenger, and the believers. Now, either we are going to have confidence in ourselves, in our performance as good believers, or trust these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we trust these words, the only conclusion is that we have a problem as believers, because Allah's prophet promises never ever fail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever failed to fulfill His promises. And this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that honor belongs to Allah, His messenger, and the believers. The second evidence is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is the due right of the believers that we grant them victory. Look how the Muslims are abandoned. And it is not the doing of anybody but ourselves. And we have nobody to blame for it but ourselves. Just recently, maybe 3 weeks ago, the court in Hague convicted one of the Serbians who killed tens of thousands of Muslims. And he was surrounding the capital of Bosnia, Sarajevo. He was convicted as a killer of how many? Thousands of Muslims. What was his punishment? Sentence? What? For how long he was sentenced in jail?
103 years.
20 years. 20 years. 20 years. I mean, some people could be happy, oh, he was convicted, but look, see the difference between the crime and the punishment. 20 years, some of our brothers are being jailed for their intention, not for their action. So, this is the condition in which we are. And again, we have to blame nobody but ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, "Man 'amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min, falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyibah." Whoever works righteous, whether he is male or female, and he is a believer, we will surely make him, we will surely, and who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will surely make him live a good life. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here in this word, فَلَنُحِيَّنَّهُ, there are several emphatic, you see, tools in it. The form, the verb itself, فعل مضارع plus لام التأكيد plus نون here all of these to make it as an absolute fact. من عمل صالحا. So when we look around and we feel that we live in misery, we have a problem, brothers. And this problem is because of our iman and our lack of our iman or the weakness of our iman. Allah also said, and all of these shows us the high price that we pay when we are heedless about the issue of our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلِيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Allah has promised those of you who believe and work righteous that He will surely make them inherit power on earth. Allah has promised those of you who believe and work righteous that He will surely, Allah does not need to emphasize for us, because He is truthful, He is most truthful. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will surely make you inherit power on earth. And وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ, and will establish for them their deen that He accepted for them. وَلِيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنَهِ, and He will exchange their fear with security. This is a promise from whom, dear brothers and sisters? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are between two choices, either to doubt this promise or to doubt ourselves, to doubt our iman and amal salih. Because this, in order to qualify for this promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've got to have iman and amal salih. Here is another evidence that shows the immense and the huge price that we pay as for our negligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا. That those who believe and work righteous, Allah will surely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely put love among them. Which means, this ayah means that as a result of their iman and as the result of their practice upon their iman, Allah will love them and they will make and will make them love each other. Just think about this ayah and look around you and just see the condition in which we are living nowadays. Again, we are between two choices, either to doubt this promise from Allah or to doubt ourselves. All these are evidences for the high price that we pay and for the fact that our problem lies in here, in our iman, in our belief. And therefore, it's very important for us to understand the meaning of iman and how we can go about strengthening our iman. And in order for us to understand iman real well, we go to back to the divine guidance, to the Quran, the ultimate guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very beautiful example that illustrates the matter of iman for us. Because iman is not something tangible. And in order for us to understand this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a tangible example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Aren't you aware how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said a parable of a good word? It is like a good tree which is firmly rooted in the ground with each branches reaching to the sky, yielding its fruit every time by the permission of its Lord. Allah is telling us this good word, which is kalimatul iman, which is la ilaha illallah, is like a good tree. Iman is not tangible. We cannot see it. But the tree we see and we know about. And therefore, in order for us to understand how to strengthen our iman, just try to understand this simple example. Think about a baby tree and how does it grow? What does it take for it to become firmly rooted? You know, the tree has roots and iman has roots, and the roots of iman is in the heart of the believer. The tree has branches and iman has branches, and the branches of iman are the righteous works. The tree has fruits, and the fruits of iman are, some of the truths of iman are what we have mentioned in the beginning of this lecture. Okay? The promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for those who believe. And some of these are worldly fruits. But there are a lot more fruits. Suffice it to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conditioned the eternal happiness upon having iman. And this is the biggest fruit of iman. So there are similarities between the tree and the iman. And as the tree requires sources for its nourishment, sources through which it derives its power, its physical being, well-being, the iman likewise requires nourishment, and there are certain sources that make our iman very powerful, make it lively, make it capable of yielding fruits that we may enjoy in this life and in the hereafter. One, yani, first of all, as I said, before going further in this, we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conditioned the eternal happiness upon having strong iman. And He told us in the Quran something, if you think about it, it's very wonderful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and listen to this ayah very closely. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّدِّيقُونَ. الصَّدِّيقُونَ are the most truthful. And the most truthful people, or الصَّدِّيقُونَ, is the highest rank of iman. It is the highest short of prophethood. And what does it take to reach that high rank and that high position? As the Quran tells us, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ أُولَٰئِكَمُ الصَّدِّقُونَ. Those who believe in Allah and His messengers, they are the صَدِّقُونَ. They are the most truthful ones. But what kind of iman is this? It is the true iman that we have to have in order for us to enjoy the fruits of iman. And having the iman, this quality, is something great. But since we hear a lot about the word iman, we have become desensitized. We don't understand the virtue and the real position of this word. You know, one time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith was recorded by Bukhari and Muslim from the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. He said, إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ لَيَتَرَاءَوْنَ أَهْلَ الْغُرَفِ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ كَمَا تَرَاءَوْنَ الْكَوْكَبَ الدُّرِّيَّ الْغَابِرَ فِي الْمَشْرِقِ أَوَ الْمَغْرِبِ لِتَفَاضُلِ مَا بَيْنَهُمْ. فَقَالُوا تِلْكَ مَنَازِلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لَا يَبْلُغُهَا غَيْرُهُمْ. قال لا, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال بلى والذي نفسي بيده رجال آمنوا بالله وصدقوا المرسلين. الله أكبر. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's telling the companions that the dwellers of paradise, we are talking about the good people, the people who have entered paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the dwellers of paradise will cite Ahlul Ghuraf, the people of the high mansions, as you guys here, as you people here, cite the faraway star in the eastern or western horizon. See the difference between ranks in paradise, that the dwellers of paradise will look at the people, these people, special people, and they are so far away, as far as the star that we see here from earth. And the Sahaba concluded that, O Rasulullah, definitely these are the positions of the prophets. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, by Allah, these are the positions of people, آمنوا بالله وصدقوا المرسلين. These two qualities, آمنوا بالله, they believe in Allah, and they believe in the messengers. They believe, these are two qualities for such a high and exalted position in paradise. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking about iman here, he is talking about the real, the genuine iman. The iman that he described in the Quran. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Indeed,
The true believers are those who, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is mentioned, their heart tremble from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the true iman, dear brothers and sisters. The iman that drives the person to work very hard for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. That the true believers are those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, they never doubted. And they strive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their wealth and by themselves. These are the truthful ones. This is the iman that we have to attain, dear brothers and sisters. Let's go back to the sources of iman, because this is the practical aspect of our lecture. How to attain the strong iman? Again, look at the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. There are sources for the nourishment of our iman. And the first and the foremost source for the strength and the power of our iman is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His names and attributes. This is the most important type of knowledge. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His names and attributes. To understand the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is so important that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, which is recorded by Bukhari and Muslim, that إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ اسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَ دَخْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. For Allah, there are 99 names, whoever ahsaha dakhal al-jannah. And ahsaha here doesn't mean to memorize it only. Rather, it means to know it by heart. Whoever, for Allah, there are 99 names, whoever knows them by heart will enter paradise. And ahsaha also include practicing them. Acting upon this knowledge of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To memorize them, to understand their meaning, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bearing these meanings in our mind. So when we say, Ya Allah, we know the meaning of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only God worthy of worship, the only one whose love must captivate our heart, the only one to whom our heart must submit, the only one who is worthy of our fear, the only one worthy of our hope, the only one worthy of our trust. And say the same thing about all the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters, in every soul, there is an urgent need that cannot be fulfilled but by knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every soul, there is a void that cannot be filled but by knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is for a simple reason. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created that heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it function the best when it is connected with Him alone. The well-being of the heart cannot be but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This void cannot be filled with wealth, cannot be filled with women, cannot be filled with position, cannot be filled with possessions. It can only be filled with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One cannot have fulfillment in his life, one cannot feel the satisfaction but with living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing him by his names and attributes. This is very important, and this explains for us how many people who are rich and powerful and affluent, they commit suicide. Why? Why a rich person commits suicide, dear brothers? Think about it. Why a powerful person commits suicide? Dear brothers, this is this kind of knowledge that instill happiness and pleasure and make the believers kings in this life, living in paradise in this life before the paradise of the hereafter. This knowledge. After all, how can we afford not knowing the one before whom we stand, before whom we prostrate, before whom we bow down, for whom we fast, for whom we do all these different acts of worship? How can we? One cannot enjoy the ibadah until he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this explains for you something that cannot be explained otherwise. Someone who stands before Allah in prayer and forget all about, you see this word, he just goes to a totally different world. And if he is like that companion who was shot by an arrow and started bleeding, but as if he did not feel that arrow, and he finished the whole two rak'ah that he was praying. And when he was asked, why you didn't cut off your prayer? He said, I hated to cut off a surah that I started. What does this mean? This means that this person was not really feeling the pain of that, his injury. It means the joy of the ibadah, the joy of his private conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowered him. His firm knowledge about Allah made him forget his injuries. This is the level of iman that we have to attain, dear brothers and sisters. And I thought this cannot be attained. I thought we cannot really reach to a prayer where we really pray with khushu' and khudu' with concentration, until I found how we deal with the computer and when we serve the internet, you know? And I found that we have the same khushu' and khudu' that must exist in the prayer. Sometimes you shake the brother, wake up. But he is connected. Okay? Just going from here, I have seen brothers, you talk to him, they are not there. And I knew that it can happen. But we have to develop that interest. And this interest cannot be developed unless we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala real well. So here you go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ اسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And we are talking about the means through which we can strengthen our iman. So what is the relationship between this hadith and the sources through which we can derive power and strength of iman? The formula is simple. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who knows Allah by his names and attributes will enter paradise. But we know that nobody enters paradise but a believer, which means that Knowing the names and the attributes of Allah leads to belief, which leads to paradise. As a matter of fact, knowing Allah is the strongest source of power. That is, strengthening our iman. Just read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The names and the attributes of Allah fill the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing himself, يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا يَعْرُجُ فِيهَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He knows what enters earth and what comes out of it and what descend from the sky and what ascend to it, and He is with you wherever you are with His knowledge. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all that you do. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. It's all alike for Him. Whether any of you conceals his thought or brings it into the open, it is the same to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِاللَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. And whether one is seeking to hide under the cover of the night or walk boldly in the light of day. It's all alike to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, and all these examples that shows you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing Himself to us. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And He knows all that is on earth and all that is in sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And not a single leaf that falls, but He knows it. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And not a moist or a fresh or dry thing, but is recorded in a clear book, in a clear register with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah also said, وَمَا تَكُونُ فِي شَأْنٍ وَمَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرَ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that whatever situation you are, you may be in, and whatever portion of the Quran you may be reciting, and then He addressed people, and whatever work you may be doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, إِلَّا كُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُدًا. But we are witness over you the moment you involve in it. وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. And not even the equivalent of an atom or an atom weight of whatever in the heavens or on earth escapes the knowledge of your Lord. وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And neither is there anything that is smaller than that or larger than that, but is recorded in a clear register, in a clear book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to these ayat. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة. It is Allah, He is Allah, beside whom there is no God of worthy of worship. عالم الغيب, the knower of الغيب, all the hidden world, all that is beyond our reach as humans. والشهادة, and all the world that can be witnessed. and can be seen. هو الرحمن الرحيم. He is the most merciful, the ultimate bestower of mercy. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. It is Allah. He is Allah, beside whom there is no one worthy of worship. الملك, the sovereign king. القدوس, the pure. السلام, the perfection, the flawless. المؤمن, the granter of faith and security. المهيمن, the overseer. العزيز, the almighty. الجبار, the compeller. المتكبر, the supreme. سبحان الله عما يشركون. Glory to be Allah سبحانه وتعالى. From whatever divinity, from whatever shirk they attribute to others beside him. هو الله, Allah سبحانه وتعالى. He is Allah, الخالق, the creator, الباري, the originator, المصور, the fashioner. له الأسماء الحسنى. To him belong all the most beautiful names. Dear brothers and sisters, how can we afford to live and die without knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How? If we are craving for you see, a salah that is similar to the salah of the companions, then we have to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And we have to look for the description of Allah in His book and in the Sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, because these are the only two sources for the names and the attributes of Allah. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, once he told the companions, when they were making dhikr loudly, he told them that, have mercy on yourselves. إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ أَصَمَّ وَلَا غَائِبًا. You are not calling upon someone who is asam, deaf or absent. وَإِنَّمَا تَدْعُونَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Rather, you call upon someone who is all hearing, all seeing. This is one of the sources for a strong iman, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the second source that we'll talk about inshallah, is knowing the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one of us ponder over the Quran, one will continue deriving benefits from the Quran, and one's iman will be building up every time one reads the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the blessings cannot be described. The blessings of the Quran cannot be described. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, condemning the kuffar, the disbelievers, He said, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلِ. Did they not ponder over the speech, meaning the Quran? Which means that if they were to ponder over the book of Allah, if they were to ponder over the Quran, this would have prevented them from disbelief. And this would have necessitated iman for them. Surely, you contemplate over the book of Allah, and one's iman increase. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. That it is a blessed book that we have sent down upon you so that they may ponder over its ayat. Many of us respect the book of Allah a lot, but we are so far away from understanding the message that is contained in the book of Allah, which is the purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the Quran, told us to send down the Quran so that we ponder over the ayat and we understand the message that Allah wants us to pursue in this life, the life of this world. How many people live and die without understanding the message that is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the true believers. He said, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. This is a clear-cut proof that hearing the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an, and living with the Qur'an increases the iman of the person. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ. And whenever his ayat, his revelation, are recited upon them, this would increase their iman. Because when the person realizes the eloquence of the Qur'an, the beauty of the Qur'an, the meaningful words of the Qur'an, the strength of the structure of the Qur'an, the miraculous nature of the Qur'an, and the fact that it has reached the uppermost level of eloquency, and the fact that it is flawless. You cannot find a defect in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This would definitely increase the iman of the person. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Do they not ponder over the Qur'an? And had it been from a source other than Allah, they would have seen in it a lot of discrepancy. So if people ponder over the Qur'an, and see how consistent it is, and that there is no discrepancy in it, they would come to the conclusion that it is surely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this increases their iman. This is the meaning of this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said regarding the kuffar, disbelievers, the pagans of Mecca, بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِمَا لَمْ يُحِيطُوا بِعِلْمِهِ. Rather, they rejected that which they failed to grasp its meaning about the Qur'an. Which means that had they really understood it, had they really grasped its meaning, they would not have rejected it. Rather, they would have believed in it. And this makes up our point, that learning about the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an, pondering over the Qur'an increases the iman of the person. The more we know about the book of Allah, the more, the greater, and the higher, the stronger our iman becomes. And finally, I did not finish, there are more, but let's conclude with this one, and that is knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because whoever knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam real well will never ever doubt the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and would realize that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought of Quran and Sunnah is the absolute truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Is it not that they don't know their messenger and therefore they are rejecting him? Which means, had they known their prophet, they would have believed in him. The more you know about the description of the prophet, his manners, his ibadah, his behavior, the signs, the ayat al-bayinat, the miracles that he performed, alayhi salatu wasalam, the more belief we have that he is the truthful messenger of Allah, and therefore our iman increases. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam presented this rational argument to the pagans of Mecca. He told them, as the Quran tells us, وَقَدْ لَبِثُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ.
And indeed, I have dwelled amongst you
a whole lifetime before claiming that I am a messenger. Don't you then reason? What does this mean? When did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared his prophethood? When did he declare that he is a messenger? After how many years? 40 years. He lived amongst his people. So they know him real well. They know that he is trustworthy. They know that he is honest. They know that he is straightforward. They know that he never lied. As a matter of fact, this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with declaring his mission. He asked the people, he called all the people of Mecca, oh Bani so and so, oh Bani so and so, and when they gathered, he told them, what if I were to tell you that an army is heading toward you? Would you believe me? And what did they say? مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا قَطْ. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. And this is a lesson for the people who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that manners matter, okay, and it's very important, the truthfulness of the person who called to Allah. They said, مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا قَطْ. Then he told them that by Allah and a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, and I'm warning you of the hellfire. إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ. I am a plain warner for you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is using this argument, rational argument, to think, وَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِّن قَبْلِهِ. Okay, I have dwelled amongst you a whole lifetime before that, before claiming that I'm a messenger. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you reason? Would a person be more respectful to people than respect being more respectful to Allah? If someone never lied against a human, would he lie against Allah? That's impossible. And therefore, he was the right person to carry the message, and by his truthfulness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left no argument for anyone on the Day of Judgment to say that مَا جَاءَنَا مِن نَذِيرٍ, that no warner come to you. No. The evidence has been established. And Rasulullah Muhammad did not leave you any excuse not to believe. You know that he is truthful and you rejected him. You know Hiraql? Hiraql was a scholar. He was the empire of one of the emperor of the Roman Empire. Roman? Yes, Roman Empire. Byzantine? Okay. So he's a very, very prominent person and head of his state, and very, like, it was a superpower at that time. And here Sahih Bukhari mentioned how did he come to the conclusion that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Abu Sufyan was there, and Hiraql called Abu Sufyan, and Abu Sufyan was a disbeliever, he was not a believer. Called Abu Sufyan, and he asked Abu Sufyan about that man in Arabia who is claiming to be a prophet. And it is as if he has a checklist. He asked him, is he so and so? Is he so and so? Then he came to the conclusion that فَإِنْ كَانَ مَا تَقُولُهُ حَقًّا فَسَيَمْلِكُ مَوْضِعَ قَدَمَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ. If what you are saying is the truth, then he will surely dominate the land on which I'm standing right now. وقد كنت أعلم أنه خارج ولم أكن أنه أو لم أكن أظن أنه منكم. I knew that a prophet will come, but I never thought he will be from amongst you, from the Arab. Okay. فلو أني أعلم أني أخلص إليه لتجشمت لقاء. If I know that I can reach him, I would exert every effort to do that. ولو كنت عنده لغسلت عن قدمي. If I were, you see, at with him right now, I would wash his feet. This is not only a Christian, he was known. There were at that time two major authorities in Christianity, and he was one of them. And he said, if I am now with him, I would wash his feet. As a matter of fact, what he did, he gathered all the priests and the pastors, and he told them, and he ordered that all the gates of the castle to be locked. And he told him, why don't we follow the path of guidance and follow that prophet? And they started rebelling against him, okay? And they were violently resisted what he said and hurried to go out of the gates. And they found that they are locked. And then he told them that, I'm just testing you, okay? So the point is, the more we know our prophet, and this is also to show how important the seerah lessons are, that the more we know our the prophet, the stronger our iman become, because he was a role model sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected him, and he is the best of the best sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One more way to strengthen our iman, I'm not going to talk about it in details, it is to ponder over the wonders of the creation of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised those people who do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the wonder of the creations of the heavens and the earth and the succession of day and night, there are signs for those who reflect. So when we ponder, the greatness of the creation is a definite sign for the greatness of the Creator. Just recently, just maybe two weeks ago, they discover, and Omar can tell us the news inshallah, they discover a new galaxy. How far is it from Earth? A new galaxy, 13 billion light years away. It existed before, we did not know about it. Okay, so this is definite sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we see the perfection in the creation of Allah, the perfection, the beauty, this is a definite sign of the vastness of the knowledge of Allah and His wisdom. When we see the benefits and the bounties that are innumerable, okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. This is a definite sign for what? For the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more we ponder over the wonders of the creation of Allah, the stronger our iman becomes. Let me stop here. These are four main sources for the nourishment and the strength of iman. Number one, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, pondering over the word of Allah. Number three, knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number four, pondering over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters, the whole point for which I chose this subject is for us to be contributor
for the rebuilding of our ummah. We start from here. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah, indeed, Allah does not change the condition of the people until they change that which is within ourselves, themselves. So we are the we start by by dealing with our iman, and inshallah, if we strengthen our iman, then we qualify for those promises that we have mentioned, the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the believers. أقول قولي هذا وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Yes, يا أخي, I'm sorry to that. Yes, that's true.
You know, in the United Nations, the judgment and all these things here has been done by the United Nations, not USA, not any other country. United Nations, they have human rights clause. No corporal punishment. No death sentence. United Nations does not believe in death sentence. America, in America also, DC does not have any death sentence. Maryland, Chicago, they don't have. Virginia have death sentence. So any people, in our Muslim country, not a single country has, you know, introduced this United Nations clause that you cannot punish a man or kill a man for killing another man. The United Nations has it. I think most of these schools are around here, you know, they say that. And Britain do not have death sentence. France does not have. Even Israel does not have death sentence. In this way, most of the European countries do not have. So this is just forgiveness. As you say in our Quran also, forgiveness is the best. You can, blood, money, or whatever, you know, you have. But if you can forgive, that is the best. So this is the way, you know, a lot of people are being killed in Bosnia.
JazakAllah khair. JazakAllah khair. BarakAllah fi. Every Friday. There is actually, I'm not the speaker who give it every Friday. There is a brother who is better than me and more knowledgeable who will give it, inshallah. BarakAllah fi.
And in the internet also, you will see unitednations.org.
Okay.
They have all the details here.
Okay. Okay, inshallah. They are merciful toward the killers. JazakAllah. This is what I understood from him. This is what I understood from him.
Thank you, brother.
13, 14 and a half, 12?
Well, I just wanted to...
You didn't hear about the galaxy, new galaxy?
No, but I
heard. So you need to update your knowledge, yeah.
Yeah,
you. So what's your name, my brother?
Ghulam Akhtar.
Ghulam, how are you, brother? My name is Waqas.
Glad to meet you.
Glad to meet you.